Okay, good morning. This is the August 14th, 2025 regular meeting of the Finance Committee. Present are myself, John Merchant, and Director Bill Gear. Richard, do you have any comments? You can, you're the only one, so when you do, just raise your hand or something. I don't know. Moving on to item three, the finance report.
All right. So August 11 report date and audit 21-22. We are in the final stage. So, but still, this week, there were so many questions. And there are so many journal entries still to be recorded. The auditor found out that there was a bunch of checks written on June 30th, 2022 that was not included in the record.
Okay.
As part of the submission that marked it. So
were they, did they, was that because they were reviewing a bank reconciliation? What were they, okay.
The audit partner is reviewing the bank reconciliation and, you know, what Mark put in the bank, it's based on cash basis and not based on accrual basis. So as such, June 30th, 2022 checks of about $365K were missing. So we have to scramble and find it and then investigate what happened. And by Tuesday, we gave the journal entry back to the auditors. And then the auditor also found out that there were a whole bunch of fixed assets in the prior 2 years that were missing in our fixed asset record. So then, you know, we have to go find it, post it back, and recalculate everything. So that was the past 5 days. And, you know, it's about $1 million adjustment from the past record. Like, either it's disposed, where is it? You know, it was added in the prior 2 years. It's not in your fixed asset record, where is it? You know, so I just sent out an email that we know that you're gonna give us material weaknesses anyway and fixed asset record, can we move on? We'll rebuild it, you know. So she hasn't responded to me this morning, but in the past 4 days have been very exciting. By the end of today, I want to check back with her to see if it's still realistic for her to come on Tuesday. I'm hoping that she will say yes.
While just while we're here, because this has been on my mind, I've seen the material weakness statement, mm-hmm. and it is what it is, and there's no reason it shouldn't be in there. What I'm wondering as we move through 22, 23, and 23, 24, mm. should we have a discussion with them? What I'm really looking for here, maybe I should just tell you what I'm trying to do, is be able, when we get to where we are handing them the next two audits, which is kind of going to be simultaneous anyway. Is there a way when we get to the current year and we finish the current year, is there a way to understand how we get that audit without a material weakness statement? That would be, you know, I'm not even going to fight on 22, 23, and 23, 24. It's going to be what it is.
When you said current, you're talking about 24, 25.
Yes, okay. Right, year to date. So yeah. Somewhere along the line here, we're going to get the next two audits in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be focused basically on an incomplete fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be
mm-hmm.
dealing with, you know, monthly P&Ls. We're going to be dealing with, you know, operating with all the changes that
right.
we've been making,
mm-hmm.
you know, starting with the developer deposits and all
right.
the other stuff we've been
yeah.
working on.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we get to the audit process for this fiscal year, that we could escape that and get an audit
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
doesn't contain a material weakness
so
statement.
So I want to answer to this by we are discovering all these problems and mistakes, I'm making changes.
Yeah.
And I am going to make sure that when I make those changes, I'm discussing with her.
Yeah, because I want to be in a position, you know, with Richardson to say, you know, look, here's what you have discovered, and here's what we have responded to over the last three audits.
Yeah.
And we're giving you a 25-26 audit. What is it, 24-25 audit?
Mm-hmm.
With all of these procedural changes, even if we make a list.
Yep.
Okay, and what we're trying to accomplish here is to come out of that year-to-date audit without a material weakness.
Yeah. So in my past life, I've always been going out to help clients that has these kind of problem. I've been able to escape all this.
Okay.
This is something that it's been submitted, it's been wrong. And the next 2 years, you might still have that problem because we're not going to do 100% reconciliation. But going forward, my track record is there's no adjustment. Going through the audit, there's no material weaknesses.
Right. We're going to see in these next two audits, I think, some result of the changes that we've made.
But I can see.
But I'm not going to fool myself that we're going to get a clean audit.
Yeah. Next 2 years, it's tough because Amelia described this process as I'm putting all the broken pieces of glasses together. There are cracks in there. So, you know, as I'm putting together the 22, 23, and 23, 24 audit, there are cracks that were created in the past. It kind of leads through into the following years. But as I clean up the following 2 years, it will be better and better.
Okay.
So, and I'll make sure that when I see those material weaknesses, how do we correct that going forward? And you get to the point that you'll have a clean financial statement.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
And we're gonna come out of this with, for lack of a better term, a record of changes that we've made.
Yeah.
For example, what we went through with the auditor last week on developer deposits.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, we'll have a record of what we've adjusted and what we've changed so that, you know, hopefully when we get to this year, we can make the case that, you know,
and
we've got ourselves reasonably under control.
Yeah, and it's very important that the board also know that my focus is still going to be the audit.
Right.
Changes that that needs to be made, I'll make it just to make sure that we get through.
Right.
But there are going to be a lot of changes that I cannot make until the audits are done.
Yeah, so. And that's where we were supposed to be before you got here.
Yeah, wanted to put all these recommendations that I'll be proposing kind of on a piece of paper so that we keep track of it.
That's where I was going. That's that's what I wanted. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's my report for audit 21-22. By the end of today, I'm going to send an email to the auditors, like, with all these changes that you're posting, can we at least get a draft in on Tuesday so that we, because I saw the preliminary financial statement already.
Yeah.
I saw it. But with all these changes, she and I might still have to have time to get together. Is your, this number right, that number right? But the notes, I've seen it already.
So, and for the meeting, the special meeting, they're coming here, right? Next Tuesday?
Yeah, right.
On Tuesday, yes. That's what I'm planning.
Yeah.
And then we'll present it again
on Wednesday. At the board.
They're both agenda items. So by the time I leave today, if we're not going to have the special meeting on Tuesday, the special finance meeting, I need to know so that I don't post it.
Yeah. And I'm going to push to say that give us a draft. Even though it doesn't tie, at least we know what it is. And she said that she's not going to talk about the detail of the financial because it's old. She's going to concentrate on the material weaknesses and the problems that she encountered during the audit, which is fine. And if on the 20th we don't have a final draft approved yet, we'll have at least something, and then we'll say that she and I we are still going to be reviewing in detail to make sure all the numbers agree on both sides, and then we'll be signing off.
What's the general time frame for her? After we get a draft, everybody is in agreement with, how much longer do they need
to finalize it?
Yeah.
I would say a week or so.
Okay.
Or maybe 2 weeks. Depends on her staffing, because her staffing are leaving already.
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. I was just trying to get some relevant idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's 21-22. For 22-23, we've actually, if you go down to all the tables,
this one,
Millie, the two tables. So we've actually made pretty good progress while we're struggling to finish the audit 21-22. We managed to put all the data into the accounting system. We're 97% done. I was supposed to have it 100%, but then this week we have all these finalizing the audit. So I pull all my staff to help me with those. But we're very, very close. And we also completed the interim audit preparation. I put 80% a few days ago, but it's looking like we're at 90%. So interim audits basically is we have to provide the auditors a lot of like check register, payroll register, so they know to make selection to test the internal process for payroll and check to make sure that both were pay at an approval that it's from a higher level. So those are internal control testing. They will start reviewing all the minutes and all the documentation, contracts and stuff like that. So that's interim audit. We've pulled all the documentation for them and it's 90%, even though I said 80% there.
Okay.
So we've uploaded all the data into GP. That was an obstacle because we've never really used GP. Mark has done everything in Excel format to bypass the GP, but in my opinion, if we had used GP, we would know that June 30th transaction were missing, because it's a sequential event.
Right.
So, yeah.
Just
so you're not using this.
For Bill's edification, GP is Great Plains.
Great Plains. We've talked about
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you did.
It's
okay.
That still bothers me. That's a legacy program, right? I mean, it's an end-of-life program.
It is, yeah, but it's still a strong
program. And we have a bridge to the future?
We do. We do. We have one. We have one.
Do we have a good one?
And yeah, we do. We have a really good one. It's called Cassell. And we have it. But what we did was we said, we're not going near this thing.
Until we're done?
Until what we're trying to do is we're trying to... Great Plains has an allocation module we were not even either aware of or chose not to use and do manually, okay, which caused pretty much a lot of what we're doing here. But what we're doing here by putting it in there is when we get to Cassell, and you, if I'm going off course here, correct me, is where we want the ability to transfer from one system to another.
Yeah.
And Great Plains, when we retire, is a dead duck, okay? And it will be replaced by a system. And nobody's going to tell you that's lived through one of these, and I've done it three times, that when you do this new systems integration, okay, that everybody sells you as being seamless, it's not. Okay, we'll have problems.
Sure.
But I think we can minimize those problems. We don't want to be moving stuff out of Excel, you know, and we don't want to be transferring stuff manually. We want to be able to integrate one system into another, and
it should be an automatic routine to migrate.
Yeah,
because if you do it manually, that's just another great place for
mistakes. That's why we're here.
Yeah,
that's why we're here.
Yeah. So when I started, I don't know how to do accounting in Excel. I know how to do accounting through an accounting system, even though the GP is not fully utilized, but at least is doing it the normal way.
I'm not even going back there, but we were getting what Mark was putting together in Excel, some type of year-to-date financial reporting. But we were doing that at the expense of what we wanted them to do originally, which was finish these audits. And what what this finishing these audits is what's bringing us into financial control, because we're fixing all this crap as we go along.
There's a lot wrong. It's not trivial.
It is. Believe me, it is not trivial. I mean,
I also want to say that Mark also walked into the mess already.
Yeah, it was here when he got here. There's no question.
I looked at Pun Group, and the year before Pun Group, the accounting record is, you look at the record, you have no idea what was done. So it's you know.
And do we have audits from, I mean, we're starting, what, in 20 or 21?
Yeah, we have
We have audits from back then, and they said, oh, yeah, everything's fine.
Again,
it's another broken glass trying to, you know, put together. So you look at bits and pieces of things, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, you know. And that's what I encounter when I picked up this audit, that why are we doing this? It doesn't make sense. So, you know, it's messy.
Part of the problem we encountered, too, was that it had become, in my opinion, comfortable for, we had Larry Bain as an auditor for several years, and back, I think it was in 2017 when I got here, or 2018, I said at this board meeting that it was time for us to change auditors, and I kind of rolled with it when the other four people said, well, let's wait another year, it'll be cheaper, blah 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 blah, and we did, and when we changed auditors, all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it is what it is, and you know, we deserve to take the heat for what it is, and we deserve to take the heat that it was, you know, all through the last year supposed to be finished by the beginning of this fiscal year, and it's not. But we're gonna just keep doing this and keep fixing stuff until we're done, and when we're done, we're done, and we're going as fast as we can. We got three people plus Cecilia now working on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
three highly qualified people.
And I specialize in this.
The manpower is there. The experience is there. It's just taking the time it takes.
Can I kind of ask a question, which is a little bit of a segue? You just talked. I saw Cecilia's room full of happy faces, doing their thing. But I think I was reading a personnel report saying that you're having quite a turnover in people.
I'll report to that.
Oh, is that
bit.
Next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to say migrating the data from Excel to GP was, you know, a challenge. And luckily, I have a RH consultant who's really good in programming in GP. She was extremely proficient in bringing all the data in and climbed through all the obstacles. We were all very amazed that she did it within a short time as well. That, you know, I can't imagine that without her, I would be able to climb through that hurdle. So now 97% of the data are in. So I'm very happy that, well, what if I didn't hire her?
Well, we got lucky.
Longer, yeah.
We went through several years of complaints and issues with Great Plains that it wasn't designed to do what we do, and it wouldn't allocate. And it does allocate.
It does, if you use it wisely.
If you use it
if
correctly.
If you set up the chart of account correctly, it can do a lot of things. But my feeling is we have never used the accounting system like a normal accountant.
Yeah.
A lot of the features that I would talk about in AP, we didn't turn it on, we didn't use it. So it's
interesting. So when we migrate to the new system, will it migrate our chart of accounts or just the transactions?
Honestly, I will reset up the chart of account. The current chart of account, architect by someone who doesn't have a lot of understanding with,
okay.
You know.
I mean, we have a GL that
doesn't make sense.
Runs forever. There's 9 billion GL accounts. And there was discussion about cleaning some of that up somewhere along the line.
Actually, that's my next project. I don't think I can survive with 17 accounts just to record property taxes by year. You just need one. Why each GR account for each year? Why? So I have to clean that up, because it's just hard to read thousands of chart of account when you only need one or two. So I have to set it up differently. And especially when I was doing the reserve, it was very hard for me to track, like, what money goes into what account and which account. Even the account name doesn't make sense, that we don't know why it's done that way. So my next project going into 22, 23, and 23, I have to set up the chart of account nicely. We have a lot of very confusing allocation account. So each account that, for example, if we allocate depreciation into the different fund, there's 6 or 7 account that tax to duplicate from that allocation process, which also doesn't make sense. I'll talk about it next time, because I already kind of like explained to my staff what's going forward. They're already moving to that target, but I need to reset the GL chart of account to make it work. Okay. Because of our fund accounting. So we also started on CFD audit, the bond audit,
right,
for 3 years. I added one more line item after the interim audit, CFD bond audit. That's a very small audit, but we already found a lot of problems with it.
I was going to ask you that, are you going to be able to close this any quicker than what we're dealing with? It is a small one.
It's a small one. But Hess, the problem that I found is the checks were cut inside RMCSD.
Oh, that's right.
But we do have a bank account inside the bond account. I'm not sure why checks were never cut from that account. It seems like it's a checking account. Amelia and I will find out.
Yeah.
And we've been charged $500 per month for analysis fee.
Did they have that set up inside Great Plains?
We're in the process of finding out. We're still looking for where is the bank's date, where is the signer on the check, and
right,
you know,
Mimi and Mark had me sign them over so that they were the owners of that account. So I'm in touch with the folks over at B of A to start the process again, so that Amelia and probably John are the signers on that.
Yeah.
The district secretary and the board president.
Yeah, and part of this lops over into the numerous questions and disputes we've had amongst, you know, we're the administrator of this. This is not our money. Okay, the money was deposited in there by the developers. And there are two of them, because Rancher North wanted their own CFD, and we have the 670 group that goes back to when we formed that. I was here in 2004 when we did that. And half these people are bankrupt, they're out of business, have been replaced by other people. And all of this is still a discussion, because they're fighting amongst themselves as to who owes who what. And our job is simply to track it, and that's why, you know, in view of where we are with this, you know, closing these as quickly as we can is a very good idea, because this is not over.
It can be done. The problem is because the payments were made inside RMCSD.
Right.
We have to reconcile both and make sure
you're going to have to back those out.
Yeah, and because that side, it's kind of a mess. We want to make sure that all the transactions are pulled out correctly. At some point, Mark took the RMCSD database with the bond inside and cut it off and set up a new database. But the cutoff was not clean.
Yeah.
So my staff is already cleaning up that part. Now we're looking at, are those all the transaction pay for an RMCSD needs to be moved back on this side? He's doing that 3 years data. I told him to go ahead and just do all 3 years at the same time.
Okay.
Because there's accounts in RMCSD called accounts payable or accounts receivable for CFD. Both have to be the same. So that's what he's currently doing right now.
So can I go back on Tuesday and then again on Wednesday, are we going to just have the CSD audit and not the CFD?
No, it's both.
It's both.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I put on the agenda. I just wanted to double check. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So part of that confusion brings about some of the statements we heard at the end of the previous administration about the $685,000 that I think the word might have been recovered, but it's not money. There's not $685,000 that just immediately appeared at the CSD because we found this money or we collected this money that had previously been not collected. There's this overlap of 670 and CFD being considered as CSD money, and it's not. We have nothing to do. We collect an administrative fee, well, we were supposed to collect an administrative fee to take care of this process. It's similar to a Mello-Roos, same kind of deal. But I'm not totally sure we're even doing that.
I actually have not looked at that email in detail.
Yeah.
But based on my recollection, that 650 is based on developer deposit that we have not billed out to the developer deposit, a big chunk of it.
Right.
And then another chunk is the utility billing that we had not been collecting from
that
the
part.
Past
is, that part is true.
We've worked on that already.
We've taken care of that.
Yes.
It's in the process. You know, a lot of them have signed up for installment plan and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the developer deposit, you and I have actually sat down and looked at each account. There's a lot that we incur costs, but we have not billed back to the FSA.
Right.
And I know both Mimi and Mark had came together, created some sort of worksheets and try to collect, but I wasn't sure what's the outcome of it because I'm not looking at the current year book yet. So there's some sort of efforts to collect part of the 634, and you know there's a lot of money there.
But the part of it that is still confusing to me is what we looked at in the list that we went through with the auditor was pretty much immediate work. In other words, it was residences, and it was retreats, and it was Riverview, which is still, you know, ongoing work. And I'm not sure where we are in these processes to where we have generated the work that would require would tell us
collection.
It was time for us for them to either use up the deposit or pay more money.
You know, there are a lot of them in 21, 22, a lot of the different accounts. And based on my recollection, we have not collected a lot. So
okay.
If Mark is reporting based on 24, 25, it might have a buildup that gets
goes
to the
back
630.
To 2021?
Yeah, what I looked at is only 21, 22, but there's 3 years down the line that he and Mimi have worked on. So it might build up to that 635 or, you know, 300.
Okay.
Until I reconcile all the years, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm doing a pretty thorough reconciliation.
Because we took a rather large sum of money from the early stuff, which would have been shopping center work and hotel work.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we got paid was we were not going to give them will serve on their supermarket on the day they wanted to open it, and we got a check, and it was a big one. And Sullivan wrote paid under protest all over the back of the check, but we got a check and we cashed it. So I'm not sure. We at some point we're going to have to get in there and carve this up.
Yeah, I think when I finish 22, 23, and 23, 24, let's have a look together on that listing, and then we can see if we really have about 634,
okay.
Or maybe less, because some part of it it's utility billing, right?
Yeah, some part of it it's 100,000 we've collected for utility billing.
Okay.
And then some of it was like 670 FSA money, and I'm like, how is that our that's not our money. That's not our money.
That's the voodoo part that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because that money shifts around between developer to developer. Essentially, one developer pays up front to build a water plant, for example.
In 2014.
Yeah, understanding that he's going to get paid back by new developers as they come into the community and now they have access to a water plant that they haven't paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what 670 is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is brokered money, okay, that that we're in the middle of, because we're responsible for a fee for administering that, but it we didn't put the money in to begin with, and when the money goes back out, it's not our money. So the only thing left in there that we're entitled to is the admin fee.
It's an admin.
So but we can when let's do what we're doing.
Right. I only saw
we'll go
one
back
admin
to this.
Fee.
Yeah.
And it's by EPS. There's a company that collects kind of like an escrow agents. They collect the fee, the money that we collected from the new developer and give it back to the old developer.
Right. Right.
In between, there's legal fee and stuff like that.
They are a pass through and they get a fee. But there's also a fee for us to, for example, do a yearly audit. And to administer the program. And I think what you're going to find, or there's a good chance you're going to find, is we haven't been collecting those.
And you and I talked about, you know, in the 21-22 audit, because it's so many years ago, and we're supposed to be charging our admin fee to these developer, we're not going to go back, because it's just, we don't know. We haven't set it in our contract to say we're going to charge you that. We didn't say anything. So going forward, we will make the contract works.
And the other part of that is that I think we've rectified, at least at this point going forward, is that when we're not booking these assets correctly or at all. As we take them, you know, when the developer is done and we take the assets, and it's somewhat convoluted because unlike most places in the world, we don't take property with infrastructure in it because we don't own the property. RMA owns the property. Or some other homeowners association owns the property. What we're taking an asset for is what's in the ground. Pipes, pumps, sewers, easements.
You said that we don't own the property. We don't own any property?
We own the parking lot out here.
How about the lakes?
No, we don't own those. Absolutely
we,
not.
We own the water, but RMA owns the land.
We own the water. And we have an easement to get to our own water, but we don't own the lakes.
But we need to service them. That's the conflict that I have.
Yeah.
We need to service them.
Yeah.
We need to fix it if anything happened. So how come it's not asset on my book?
Correct.
That's what I kept talking to the auditor. But at that point, last week, I just want to finish
the audit. She had a rough time understanding how we do things.
Cool.
Which is very, very justified.
Well, hold on a second. So if RMA owns the land that the lakes are on,
they do.
Don't they have to pay property tax on that?
No, they don't pay property tax. Neither do we.
Well, I know we're.
Yeah. No, they don't.
So
they don't
RMA
pay
either. Doesn't pay property.
Yeah,
they're RMA governed. Doesn't pay property tax. I concur.
Yeah. Yeah. They're governed by rules that are similar to ours. They're called Davis-Sterling. You know, they're not Brown Act people. But they're,
they need more oversight than
we can. We will have leisure time to spare when we finish the audits. When we finish the audits,
I'll have a deep dive because, you know, I want to find out the truth.
But we're not. As a result of that, we were not. When we take these developer deposits and then ultimately take receipt of the finished work, like the infrastructure, we're not correctly one or the other billing or booking the asset.
We're not.
So when you ultimately go to create a balance sheet, you got a problem.
Yeah, I mean technically, we according to the auditor, we don't have title to those. You're right, we don't. But technically, we have to service them if anything happened.
Yeah.
So whatever we pay for should be part of our asset, but But because of the legality, we're not allowed to book that. So it's I just want to finish the audit for now and then come back.
Yeah, we'll go back there. We're going to have to go back there, but not until we finish.
Yeah, and not having that fixed asset detail to kind of retrieve and go, how much do we spend there and how much going forward we should be spending to repair that? It's a capital budgeting process, right? Going forward to think for the future 15-year. Not having those amount on the book, it feels right. Doesn't feel right. So
go back to finish up on your audit analysis and where we are if you haven't, and then let's go back to Bill's question. I want to talk about who's leaving and what we need to do.
Okay, so based on all the learning that I've done for 21-22, I'm estimating that the next two audits will have a lot of things to clean up, and it will be, I think, by mid-November the audit will be finished.
Okay.
Which is longer than I thought, because I thought when I came here I could finish it in, I don't know, a month.
That's what they all think,
right,
Cecilia?
But then it's, you know, I've been here May, June, July, August now. We're finishing the first one. But I felt like because we know so much more now, the next audit.
Yeah, I'm operating under that assumption until something happens.
Yeah, but then the reconciliation process will be longer because we know what are broken now, you know. So I delayed it to November just to be realistic, because I think that the auditor asked question on specific area, but there's also 50% of areas that they have not asked a question. Those we might want to do that well, you know. So and during the last month we have several position that staffing changes. AP person left, and my Great Plains GP guru, who is helping us with the upload, she's now in that position because she just knows so much, and she has fixed a lot of problems within software. So she's fixing all those, cleaning it up, and by Monday, I'm going to have another consultant comes in at a higher level. This person is a higher level that I can utilize him to do AP, and also I found a whole some problems with the AR module that I need to fix very fast.
And these are Robert Half employees? The AP person who left, is a Robert Half employee?
No, the AP person who left, it's our employee.
Okay.
But I put the GP consultant into it because she just know everything that about, you know, the AP module. And
yeah,
it's already fixing stuff.
And the extension of that, Bill, is in looking at you know, there's a systematic process for AP and for receivable accounts receivable as well, that we need to document and do. You know, the PO does this, and you know, the receiving report does this, and you know, no different than the Army.
So Amelia read my mind already. She already went to the AP section just to report on this. There's a whole lot of things that we discover. I only put four items, but any AP position knows how to do a three-way match. What that means is they're going to compare the PO that is approved by Eric's department, and then the approved PO should have the quantity that was agreed on, the pricing, and then the AP person received the invoice is supposed to compare the pricing on the invoice to that PO and also the quantity. And finally, is it received? Do we receive that yet? Then make the payment. That process was never really done. The previous AP person will look up, oh, is there a PO? That's it. But really don't understand, a typical AP person will do a three-way match, a very typical thing that you would do. And I also look at the existing job description. It was never mentioned that that's a requirement for that position, so I changed that because that's a basic AP should be doing that, verifying that there's proper channel of approval before making the payment. So that's one crucial thing. Now, inside our existing AP system, we have a software that routes around to all the Eric and, you know, all the supervisor for approval first, then we make the payment. That's a software that we call Estiva. And whenever we make all those payment entries are made in Estiva, then the next process is to upload that Estiva file into GPA. So we didn't know that that process was so broken that it might be easier to just manually enter those transactions into GP by itself. The upload doesn't work. So my GP consultant, it's like 70% done, you know, cleaning up that upload programming. And she just know that when we actually clean up the 21-22 audit, we already saw a lot of problems with AP. And that's one of the reasons why Mark did it in Excel, because everything is a mess there. So, but luckily I have heard that she's just cleaning things up. There's a lot of problems that I don't want to detail that out, but she just cleaned up all the stuff and she's still cleaning up. So the next person, when it comes in, will have better procedure for the next person to continue. And I didn't want to bring in a higher level person that can spot problem, because I'm not in there processing AP check. So the higher level person who's actually from a CPA firm but wanted to take a break from the 60-70 hours.
Right.
So I think that person will be able to spot those kind of problem. And one of the other problems that I found is when I was reconciling one of the, and I'm switching to AR right now, which is not in my report, I found out that now that a lot of our staff, our residents are paying installment payment, the system doesn't really show what are the payment made by the resident that goes towards installment payment or any of the bucket. I don't know where it went. So as I talked to Tyler, which is our system, you know, utility billing system, it turned out the system programmed all the cash receipts to go through barcode first and then installment contract, and it's an automatic application. I don't want that. If our residents wants to pay this chunk of payment towards the installment payment first, we should have the ability to go inside the system and say, this $500 apply to the installment payment,
sure,
and then apply to the rest of it. It doesn't, because the system was done previously by, is it Paula? It was set up that way with Tyler. So that's why I couldn't find the cash receipts for this one of the complaint from one of the previous residents, and I couldn't find it. It's because the payment was not applied to the right categories. It's in there. Overall, we have the correct balance, but it wasn't applied to the right bucket. So I intend to have this person who's done AR before to just talk to the system person and just iron things out. I don't think I want to rely on the front desk two person, because they are dealing with the day-to-day transaction.
Right. So, and then the end of this, when we turn this position back into a regular employee, where with the correct controls, we should just need a receivables clerk and not somebody two levels up.
Maybe.
Or a payables clerk, one or the other.
Right now, I'm trying to survive the day-to-day. I haven't think about the 25, 26, what we really need to do. But as I see big problem, like this one, I need to fix it right away. Because we have all these installment payment coming in. I have to be able to say, I apply it to your installment, and the installment is done. So that's becoming, you know, more of a problem that I cannot postpone. It needs to be done now. So I'm hoping that person who will be starting on the 18 can just dive in and talk to the consultant and straighten things out. The consultant means Tyler consultant.
Okay.
Tyler has a company too. And then 1099 is one. All AP person knows how to do 1099. And the existing job description, doesn't have it. It's just a clerical person. It's not. You need a specialized AP person. It's very important that we hire the right person into the right post. And if not, then I can't be doing AP job. It has to be that person who has done years of AP transaction knows what to do. So that's the AP report.
Job description, yeah.
Do we have any history of people emphatically calling us at the end of the year saying they didn't get a 1099?
Never.
So they are getting them?
I do not believe that they are getting them. I remember Mark running around going, who got the 1099? Where's the history on 1099s? And I'm like, I don't know. So I don't know. Have you found any 1099s? I don't think we have any.
I don't think people are going to call if they don't get their 1099.
No, pretty sure people are going to call.
They will. You know, if, I know if you're just not trying to skirt the IRS, if you're doing consulting, you can't do a thing until you get a 1099. I mean, and
well, those people don't have to.
Unless you're just doing it off the books, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's more tax liability that I'm concerned of. And we had all these litigation that we pay, those has a special 1099. You know, if it's a payment to legal litigation, I think it's a 1099 NEC instead of a miscellaneous. So I need that person to already pick up the payment and know, okay, I need to check the box inside the system to say 1099 NEC. So I need that AP person to already know.
Okay.
So that's the AP. So again, to recap, the next two audit, we've done a lot, but not as fast as I want.
So as a result of all these changes too, are you at this point, I know you're anticipating somebody, do you have three now? Do you have three working bodies or do you have two?
So I have one person that I brought in because I have two RH consultants.
Right.
One left already because they didn't think that this engagement was that long. And I replaced it with someone who's an auditor from Richardson.
Oh, okay.
So he knows a lot. So I was very fortunate because he just know. He's done audit before. He was like me, an auditor. You know, so he knows what, I don't want him to explain too much, he knows what to do.
Okay.
So I'm about to, another consultant that was, from the initial, she's leaving too. She's retiring.
Yeah.
So I'm working with Gary to make sure that we bring on the next one.
Okay.
And it has to be fast because we need to keep these going, you know. So those are the changes that I have in the last months, lots of movement to work on. But we'll be fine. So,
okay.
Going through 24-25 audits, the yellow one.
Right, okay.
Yes. It's actually the person assigned to do this, it's the GP consultant, the GP guru. And I've been pulling her off to do AP, pulling her off to do this upload. So, but she still managed to get 60% of the data in for March to June. So I'm hoping that once, and I felt like I'm going to pull her back in to finish the 24-25, and then three of them will go in and attack 24-25 and 25-26.
Right. Okay.
It makes sense to get it done first. So you might not see a lot of movement in the yellow box in the next few months as I kind of pull everybody in to finish the last two audits.
Sure.
Payroll. Payroll is interesting. You all know Donna left and I took over the payroll and I review payroll for my whole life and I kind of spot things, you know. So several things that I spot is number two here, time off approval. This is internal control. When you ask for leave, your supervisor has to approve first and not that you just put in your time in there. So I turn on that module. From now on, if you ask for leave, the supervisor has to approve it first and the supervisor will be able to see your balance before they approve. Previously, it was just approve. Don't know whether you have the balance a lot. That's what I found problem. That we might have approved, pay for someone's balance, but they don't have a balance.
Yeah.
That's why
they
turned that off.
They don't have a positive balance.
Yes.
Yeah, and,
yes.
And I am now fully versed on the fact that we do not allow negative vacation, correct?
We do not allow the
you
negative
cannot,
vacation,
You
no.
cannot, as in you know, Silicon Valley language, you cannot go in the hole.
No.
You know,
and nor do we have a pay advance option like some companies do.
Yeah. I would hate to see what that would look like after right. a year's worth of accounting.
So the next thing that I saw is when I was reviewing security payroll, and several part-time person has gone over the 30 hours. And then I asked Brendan, are they part-time or not part-time? And he goes, it's just one of those that I have to pull that person to cover something. And so I get it. But the rule is, if you're part-time, you can you have to stay within the 30 hours. If you continuously hire that person, you know, give them more than 30 hours, we have to switch on them.
You got to move them in. You got to move them into a full-time.
Yeah,
position.
And they are entitled to benefits.
That's California law.
So I said to him and HR to go as we were going through all you know things of concern is, do you have a process to review these kind of you know part-time people? Do you need anything? So they're aware of it now. They told me that they with other client they will review it every quarter, and that's what I want. That somebody tells me, and I'm not even sure, is it 30 hours or 31 hours? Because I've used other consultant HR to go, and when I was going through this, and the equivalent HR to go caught that for me, and at that time I have 500 employees, so I'm not looking who is part-time with a small part-time. Well, that consultant told me that is based on IRS rule, it should be 31 hours. And so I want to find out, and I'm not remembering, is it 30 or 31?
I'm not sure that's the complete rule, Cecilia. You might want to check on this, because I believe that it's 30 hours in a week up to 1,000 hours per year, which is way less than 30 hours per week. If they go over 1,000 hours a year, I think they have to be reclassified. So we should find out before we get... Because if somebody works more than 1,000 hours, it used to be, somebody works more than 1,000 hours a year, then they had to be a full-time employee. And if you can classify as a part-time employee, you are paying big fines to the state.
So that's exactly what I did. I told HR to go, can you look at that? Because I don't have all the rules and regulations.
This is HR to go?
Yeah.
Our
new company. Okay. So I'm flagging these and go, HR to go, look at these, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether it's 30, 31, or I just know my previous HR to go. We'll look at it on a rolling basis, on quarterly basis, to see if that person is continuously over 30 and it's bucket to be benefit.
Yeah, they're, I'm sure built into that system, even the paycheck system, there's got to be some pull down report you can do to analyze.
Yep, there is. Yeah, my job is to flag it to HR to go to look at that. You know, I don't know the rules very well. And then there's also medical reimbursement. When I look at the payroll, we have a lot of people here gets reimbursement for medical expenses if they don't choose our medical insurance.
Right.
So right now, and this is more of a payroll processing problem, I think. Right now that pay is sitting in as part of the gross pay, which is subject to payroll taxes, pension, if you pull that number out to calculate pension, or sometimes overtime, because if that medical reimbursement is considered part of your base rate, then you should be paying overtime based on that. So I also told HR to go, can you look into that for me? Is that, what should I do? Because if that's not part of the base rate, then I need to move it into reimbursement, like our technology reimbursement and things like that, which if you move it into that field in payroll processing, then the taxes will be calculated from the correct fee. So
right. Wouldn't that impact the PERS contribution as well?
So that's depends on how the I haven't looked into that, but you pull a file from the system that calculates all the base rate, and then CalPERS will be using that as a percentage, right? So it's important to say, is the medical reimbursement part of the gross pay or reimbursement? So I'm looking at HR to go to give me more definition on that, then I'll move it inside the payroll processing. So exempt employee also, I've never seen a company that exempt employee has to go in and manually do their timesheets.
I've had other companies as an exempt employee where I've had to do my timesheet.
Yeah, it might not
that's
be.
That's another story.
Yeah, so to save time, unless you're requesting for time off or you're detailing your time by projects, it's not necessary to do your timesheets. The front desk, or hourly person, they should be reporting their time on a daily basis, which they're not. You know, they should be. and they should be accounting for their breaks time, you know, the 5 hours rule kind of thing. So all those needs to be looked at by HR to go.
Yeah.
So the HR to go kickoff meeting hell was really nice because I found out that our existing payroll company, which is Paycheck, we already bought the HR services and safety, but somehow the rate is so good. The rate is so good that we only pay about $2,000 per month. And then it's really good that we can use a lot of the online feature that HR Paycheck already offer. So some of the feature that they have is, so what we talked about with HR to go is use Paycheck's online system for HR module. We won't be using their HR services, we'll be using HR to go. But HR services from Paycheck is so good that we can use that as a supplemental. Because my experience with using these HR company is they cover these bucket, anything outside of it, they will charge you extra. But since we bought it already from Paycheck, we can use them. We can use Paycheck. So like buying poster for the HR, we already have it. We shouldn't be paying for it.
Yeah,
we have been paying for it.
No, we haven't been paying for the posters.
We
get them from GSRMA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We do. Okay. And I think that how Paychex is going to work best for us in our situation is that all of those onboarding, for example, documents, the personnel manual and all the policies, will be loaded into Paychex and then electronically sent to new employees, and they can read them at their leisure, and it has a system where we can see that they've read them all. And then they're forever held in that document library for each individual employee.
Yeah.
So that I can go back and look at the personnel manual if I want to.
Yeah, I think we should keep, because it's only $2,000. We're using their software. We're using their payroll processing and performance appraisal, too. It's online.
Mm-hmm.
They have a handbook builder. Like, all the handbooks are in there, but we can change it. And it flex if there's a state and federal rules conflict, it flex in there. So we should definitely use that, use their online services for $2,000, you know, and have HR to go to give us a personalized, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, because the Paychex thing doesn't do much for us with regard to job descriptions and
they do. We bought the service already, but since 2019, we've never called them. And I asked them.
But I mean, like, through the Paychex, we can they generate and modify?
They have the whole HR services for us. But I asked the girl, "How come you never call us if we've never used you?" And she said, initially in 2019, they tried to reach out, but nobody responded. So they stopped. But it's all there. But I thought about. Actually, Donna, when she before she left, she told me that there's a huge discount coming, and it's this. Right now, we got a discounted rate for only $2,000 per month, and we have everything.
And that includes all the payroll services. Like, how much would we pay for just that alone?
Yeah, the payroll is only $384 per pay period, but the rest of it is HR.
Okay.
But the system alone, like the online onboarding for services, it's something that we should utilize, because HR to go is somewhere else, and it's good for, and even has a button that if our staff has a question with HR to go and they want to be complaining about, you know, sexual harassment, they can click on that button in Paycheck and automatically talk to HR to go. And all their conversation, it's confidential between them. So that feature, all those system inside Paycheck, definitely we should keep it for use.
Okay.
And if one side, HR to go, cannot answer our question, we can go, you know, to Paycheck. Because it's not that expensive. $2,000, I know it's not expensive.
Okay.
I think that's all my updates.
And I did want to note that I had made an error in the posting of the packet. I didn't realize that Cecilia did not want the business process that she wrote for the board meeting. And so I accidentally put that in the packet. I've taken it out if somebody wanted to see that, because I had originally disclosed it. I'll gladly put it back in. But that's for the board meeting. I was mistaken with that.
And which one is this now?
Her business improvement processes that she presented at the board last month.
Right.
I thought she wanted that in the finance committee meeting too, so I put it in. And then this morning when she said, oh no, I don't want that in there, I went back and took it out. But okay. I will gladly provide it to anybody who wants to see it. We'll see it, I think, an updated version next Wednesday in the board report, which now I know that's where that section, that report belongs, is with the board and not in our finance committee.
You're very gracious in accepting that mistake. It's my mistake to begin with. I shouldn't have sent it to you, so.
No problem.
Yeah, getting better every day.
So we've done the audit update.
Mm-hmm.
Are we on to this purchasing and bidding?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's mine. Patrick Enright, our general counsel, realized that as part of the SB 1383, which is that short-lived climate pollutant reduction act of 2016, which is, you know, here at home, that's the act that made organic wastes need to go into the green waste container and changed all of those requirements for cow waste and how they pick it up and what they do with the organic waste. We got all of those and rewrote our Chapter 31, the solid waste.
Yeah,
in great detail.
I remember that well.
And so we did that within the time frame, but we didn't. I don't know. So now we're updating the purchasing and bidding code, and this update involves that we need to purchase and procure recycled paper products, plates, toilet paper that we use. So we need to be purchasing recycled products, paper products, which I know that direction was given to staff who does the purchasing to be on the lookout for and to meet those requirements. So I believe that we're already internally meeting the requirements, but we need to lay them out, and we've added them into the purchasing and bidding code because that's where they belong. So pretty boilerplate on that part of it.
That's fine. Is there some state requirement that we report this someplace?
We do. I have to have a designated person to report what we are purchasing. Yeah.
You mean so I have to like report to the state the quantity and quality of the copy paper that we buy? Is that what we have to do?
There are reporting requirements in here. So I will have read that section very specifically and be able to answer that at the board meeting, or would you like to go to that section now?
No, I'm just so if you're responsible for this reporting, I just need to understand that you're going to do it, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. Is it a form? Is it a report? What is it?
Compile an annual report of the district's direct procurement and/or vendor other procurement on behalf of the district of recovered organic waste products, recycled content paper products, and recycled content printing and writing paper, consistent with the record keeping requirements contained in 14 CCR section blah blah blah. The annual recovered organic waste product procurement target and 14 CCR section 18993.4 for recycled content paper products and recycled contact printing and writing paper procurement. This report shall be made available to the district's responsible entity for compiling the annual report to be submitted to Cal Recycle.
Okay.
So now, that means that I will...
you're going to tell Cal Waste...
Cal Recycle. There's Cal Waste, which is our hauler, and then there's Cal Recycle, who governs recycling throughout the state. So I have other reports that I go onto the Cal Recycle website and fill out for them annually. And I haven't been asked to do this report. I will go and find out. But I'll be the person who...
And as an extension of that, with this job description rewrite you and I are talking about...
Mm-hmm.
Would you put in a list of all of these
reports
that you
do
provide, and whether we provide them daily, weekly, monthly, or annually, or whatever?
Okay.
Let me know how I can help, because it purchasing system.
And I'm interested in knowing.
So we might be able to just pull that out, but she gets most of it on Amazon. So
Right. Or even the accounting system, which tracks all the purchases, right?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. We can work on that together.
Okay.
Maybe this is stupid, but is there, for example, if we buy this stuff at a central, is this stuff we buy at Costco, or where do we buy this?
We had bought it at Costco for years and years. We canceled our membership. Now it might be economically feasible. It might save us money to pay for the Costco membership, order things online, Gatorade, all our paper products. But Jay does the purchasing. We'll sit down and do a cost comparison to see which one makes more sense. Then also with Costco delivers now, so I probably wouldn't have to send somebody down.
I was interested in knowing, like, is there, when you report this, is there a form?
Oh, there'll be a form. Okay. I would imagine. I haven't seen it, but all the other reporting that I have to do asks me specific how many tons of organic waste.
Okay, all right.
And Cal Waste provides that information, and I go on and fill out the form.
Okay.
Right?
So when all it, roll this all into, you know, an appendix to your job description, just so we have a list of
the reports that I'm responsible for.
All these reports you do. Okay.
Okay, so there's more to this. So the changes concerning SB 1383, we have to do. They're boilerplate changes. And then in our Chapter 4, Purchasing and Bidding, we have guidelines for the general manager. And so Patrick put in the report that at this point, the board, since we're opening this code up, the board might want to look at the general manager's purchasing and bidding currently, if it's an approved, like in the CIP list project, she can approve a contract for that for $50,000 or under, or key, without coming back to the board, because you already know that's a CIP project.
Yeah, in other words, if we've approved a contract to do a significant infrastructure.
Right, if you've approved the whole project.
And they deliver $50,000 worth of material for that project, the general manager can approve that.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Okay.
What needs a thorough airing and is going to change, I'll guarantee you, is this $25,000 limit.
Because currently, the general manager has the authority for anything to approve up to $25,000 and just kind of have a green light rubber stamp on that.
Right.
When I started here, one of the very first things we did was change this and go from a $5,000 general manager limit up to the $25,000 because the board was being a couple of items every month for $6,000, $8,000 to approve. And that's whatever the board wants to do. If they want to give direction at the meeting?
Well, specifically we, you know, and that's going to be a board discussion.
Yes.
But we want to make sure that part of the discussion happens.
Yes. And then while I have an ordinance in here that's included in this packet that I'll present next week, once the board has had that discussion and given more direction, then we'll change that not dollar sign in the ordinance and bring it back with the amended,
right?
That we'll still only have to have two readings of the ordinance. It's on the board with the permission, of course, of the finance committee. I'm going to move it to the board.
Yeah.
It's already on the agenda, though.
Yeah, we'll recommend.
Yeah.
So if there's
an agreement, we'll recommend that we have this.
Absolutely. You know, I just got that late last night, and I didn't look it over until this morning. I did a poor job of skimming through it. But that $25,000, wow, that kind of stuck out at me.
Yeah.
I when I was not on the board, I was screwed by that $25,000 once and for the last time.
But there was, I kept reading, and I think it says in emergency situations that the that they can do whatever they want.
Oh, absolutely. And an emergency situation is Lake 11, right? The like, we had to go out there and fix it right now. And so staff didn't have time to call a special board meeting and give the 24-hour notice. It had to be done. If the dam breaks, the general manager has the authority to get somebody out here to fix it. So I think I've seen that maybe twice.
I mean, that's kind of loosely worded.
It is.
Okay. But who defines what an emergency is? I think it's an emergency because my cat got lost, and so I want to spend $200,000 on 3 new trucks. It was an emergency. And it's like, you see, I mean, like, we need to have, I read that, I was like, did somebody's kid write this, or maybe AI wrote it?
And it's well, like, AI wasn't here back then.
It's like, we need to have use a finer, sharper pencil to write this stuff. And
yeah.
I also think that maybe we don't need a special board meeting. We just, that person needs to call the board president.
Exactly. That was what Amelia and I talked about this briefly yesterday. And that if we're gonna go past an emergency meeting, I mean, if the dam breaks, you probably want to get it fixed immediately, but you probably also want to have a meeting.
There would be a meeting 24 hours later.
But there needs to be inserted into this. There needs, in that emergency situation, there needs maybe, like Bill says, to be some clearer definition of the word emergency. And secondly, the general manager can act on that, but they need to notify somebody.
Get 3 people on phone call and talk.
Right. And the other thing, you know, if it's an exigent circumstance that needs to be handled, you know, which is outside of the scope of our 72-hour notice of a public meeting.
I can have a special board meeting, sir, with a 24-hour notice.
I would rather have a meeting with a 2-hour notice and violate the Brown Act or whichever act it is, rather than say, oh, let the general manager do what they want. Because I think that anybody at the FPPC who saw that would say, oh, you guys got together and you talked only about the dam that was breaking. I was in Hollister when the dam did break.
Oh.
And so this does happen.
I'm sorry, that might have been a bit tender for you.
They spewed a whole bunch of half-treated effluent into the river. So
would you like to give me wording to add to this now, and then I'll bring that to the board as a proposal, or would you like to have a full board discussion on that?
I also have another comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Want to
comment? It
kind of like bleeds into that. So usually when we go through a budget during the annual process, whatever decided with the direction of the water plan, we're gonna buy a contract with some vendor for $50,000. New contract, but we are doing this because we want to do something. So at that time, during the annual budget time, all these contracts are already reviewed and approved. And so how does the $25,000 fit into that budget process? Do we have to do it again?
So for example, the sodium hypochlorite conversion at the water treatment plant, he brought that to the board. First they brought it to the board for an RFP to have a company come out and tell us what we needed to do. And I want to say that was like $165,000. That came to the board. But it was an approved project for, say, $4 million. I'm just making that up. Mm-hmm. And so each of those individual contracts, so that was the first. Then we had to have an RFP to see who would do the work, T&T. And so that came to the board because that was more than $50,000. Even though the $4 million was approved in the CIP, every one of those $50,000 or more dollar contracts still came back to the board for discussion
and
approval.
And that was not the inherent problem that we experienced. For example, if you wanted to give Mattis more authority in the water plan, you could do it. and you could do it because it was only $22,000. When, you know, it wasn't really, we had a failure and we needed a new pump and we had to get it right away and that pump was $27,000. Okay, it wasn't that.
Right.
It
right.
was it became a crafty way of getting around a board discussion on something that was more related to policy than it was to procurement. So
yes.
So that's why when, and I was here when we went to $25,000 and we did so with the assumption, you know, yeah, he's got to go do a major repair on a major vehicle or something like that. Yeah, well, we're going to approve it anyway, and we can approve it after the fact. But it didn't stay there. So
it didn't stay there. I saw a lot of hiring of consultants, and many $24,500 approvals that never made it to the board, that were completely under your radar. And I think that transparency begins at home with staff letting the board know where we're spending money, why we're doing it,
yeah.
and what led us to those decisions.
Yeah.
So I think that this was just a recipe
and
for a free $24,000 check.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, without understanding completely where five different people are on it, I think there's probably some acceptance now of the fact that the $25,000 limit is too high.
I think so.
So we need to have that discussion.
But another thing, something I haven't seen here before is a consent agenda. You guys do a consent agenda?
We do the, sure, of course we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put the minutes on the consent agenda. I put the bills paid listing on the consent agenda.
Yeah, we could put, you know, fix this for $7,000. You know, approval
yeah.
to do this, approval to do that for this amount. And if somebody has a charge about it, they can just say, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to
pull it out.
Yeah,
out
of
the consent agenda.
And then that will generate a staff report to say why we needed the $7,000 pump fix. Anyway. These are decisions. This makes me glad I'm not on the board because I don't have to make these decisions. I just have to do what you say.
But yeah, so put it on there. We'll fix it.
It's on there. So you want to have all this discussion about what to, not only what to change this to, but adding emergency language.
Oh, that's important.
That's important.
We need to that language. I mean, it just, I don't think it happens. I mean. There are emergencies.
Yeah.
We should be able to work around them in a couple of hours somehow.
And Patrick will be here. So he will give us emergency board meeting
direction. Just say, I mean, even if it's an emergency, you can't spend more than 25 grand in 24 hours, I don't think. Now, I know we want to move down south of 25 grand for what the general manager can do without approval, but if the dam breaks and you want to get it fixed, you can call your best friend and have them mobilize their excavators, but you can also call a special meeting in 24 hours, and mobilizing their excavators isn't, if we decide we're not going to do that or we need three bids, we can just stop them and pay them for bringing their stuff out here, and that'll be less than 20 grand. I mean, it'll be a bunch of money, but it's we don't.
I don't know who told you that.
We don't have to have our walk around. We don't have to run around like our hair's on fire. There's, you know, it's not that much of an emergency.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reality of it is too. Like you said, if it is a dam break and we get three people together and we have a meeting and it's in less than 24 hours, well, you know, so be it. We'll explain it away, or we won't.
Right, better to ask for forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much.
That's exactly right.
Okay, okay.
Greg Lukenbill School of Management. Yeah.
So, perfect. I'll add that to the agenda, this item to the agenda, and there will be a vibrant discussion, I'm sure.
So, let me go back to my agenda. I mean, I think we got a little carried away on, but I couldn't believe I was reading about, you know, defining what quality of paper we were buying for our copier and then reporting that to the state.
I believe it, yeah.
I just perhaps had to talk about that because it didn't understand it.
Yes. The SB's 1383 requirements are daunting. Well, I think you were here when we passed the ordinance that added all those to solid waste.
Was that the end of it? I'm still not.
Yes, sir. Yes. Director comments is your last, the next item.
Nothing at this point other than I'm looking forward to the meeting with the auditors and then the meeting on Wednesday afterwards. I mean, it'll be, I mean, we're way behind, but I think we're demonstrating that we're making progress. That's all we can do. I mean, we're going to get it done, so.
Yes. Thanks to Cecilia, we're going to get it done.
I do have one thing that kind of sticks in my craw. I mean, we had 3 people leave in a month, which, okay, there's changes in life, but we don't have a general manager, and we don't have a director of finance. If Cecilia just said, oh, Robert Half came up with a great new job for me, see you later, it's like, you know, I think we'd be screwed, okay?
We're smiling, Bill.
And really, you know, hiring the right personnel is an important part of our job for both our, you know, the district manager and our director of finance. So I mean, I think that, it's not going to happen overnight, you know? I mean, you know, we can offer jobs to people who are currently in residence, and if that doesn't work out and we have to hire externally, that's going to be painful because we have to find the right person. I've been through this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small hick district in a small hick town, and the Energizer bunnies, they have to walk in and go, I kind of like it here. You know, like you said, the person you hired, they're like, yeah, I don't want to do that 70-hour a week thing. Okay, great. That's probably a good fit. But those people are hard to find. So it would be great if we would put that on the radar and do it wherever, take it wherever it leads.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Thank you.
Then we're done, right?
What'd you say we're adjourned?
Okay, we are adjourned at 11:23.
Thank you, sir.